G'day Adelaide, welcome to the top rating and global sports show, the Rush Hour, a salubrious day here in Adelaide. Love this place. This is the best place on earth, and I'm working with the best people on earth. Hello to you, Greg Bullock.
Hello, Jars.
Hello to you, Bernie Vince.
G'day. And are you okay?
Hello to you. Not yet. I will be
Why
after.
Why are you talking oh, no. funny?
Something's happened, but I'll address that shortly on this show. Hello to you, Emma G. Right.
Hello, Jazz. I love when you teach us new words. Salubrious. Yeah. I've never heard that word.
What does that mean? Well,
beautiful, glorious, gorgeous.
Is it?
Beautiful, lovely.
Are you salubrious?
No, not at all.
No?
No, not at all. My wife
is Greg.
Yeah, he's got that look, that Lady Gaga type look.
He just shot up in his chair then.
Have you been, team? Weekend, Bern, you've been busy. I've been hearing you're on the Triple M, and then you're on the bounce last night on Fox, and Greg, you're all over the place, and Emma G's had a wonderful weekend with the team.
Yes. No, a team event that we...
got snubbed.
Well, we knew... They knew that we couldn't go.
You were invited, you just didn't
but
come.
Emma,
hang on. No, Emma, they know that we're busy on a Saturday at 1 o'clock or wherever that starts.
Okay, so you just want us to plan our lives around you.
Yeah. And Bluey, he's committed to golf.
Yeah, don't stuff with my golf.
They just did that deliberately because they didn't want us there, Jazz. But anyway, we move on. We'll have our own show. Yeah.
Got some horrible messages from some of the crew too while I was trying to concentrate and play golf.
Was one an ex-footballer?
Yeah.
Former footballer.
Yep.
And battled when he played?
He battled. Battled to
move
kick
like
it more than 20 metres. And you know who else was in on it as well?
Who?
Who?
Matty O'Reilly. Oh, Matty O, on the boss start.
So I'm just were, about done with him.
They were obviously...
just about done with him.
Obviously had a bit oiled up and decided to send some abusive messages.
Nah, we'll address that.
But great day yesterday, Mother's Day.
Yeah,
so my boys did a great job their beautiful mother. Yeah. So, happy
day.
Mother's Day.
Now, West Coast Eagles have just sent out a club statement regarding their 7 knobheads.
Yeah, they did.
Let their club down. What's happened?
The West Coast Eagles today, I'll read the statement, fined each of the 7 players who breached club protocols by attending the Leaderville nightclub. Yep. $5,000. Okay. So half of that suspended. So $2,500 fine, $2,500 suspended. Defenders Jackson Nelson, Josh Rotham, utility Jake Waterman, supplementary selection period recruits Hugh Dixon and Patrick Naish. Patrick Naish played every game, I think.
Yeah.
And youngsters Campbell Chesser and Rhett Barzo. So they were at the nightclub after the 109-point loss to Richmond. So 3 of those players ended up playing the next week against Brisbane. Some couldn't because of the health and safety protocols, but Rotham, Waterman and Naish all played and got belted again the next week.
I would imagine they won't be there end of the year when they do their delistings.
Well, they got picked up in the SSP period. So they're sort of on a lifeline anyway, Judge. You'd think you'd be doing all the right things. But anyway, they didn't and they paid for it.
109 points they got done that day. Mm. They decided to go out and celebrate.
Good. It's not
and
pleasant.
Got belted again by Brisbane this week.
Oh, no.
How they going, West Coast?
What's up, Jars? You're pointing at me about
something.
Well,
you've got paper in your hand.
No, that was I've got the same paper as what Bernie just read out.
Now, we've got lots to talk about. We've got another heart-to-heart guest coming on the show, and they'll be there Thursday at the Highway Inn to check our hearts. So that's going really well. You've got whacked. You've got whacked.
Mm.
And we'll address that.
You're coming off your long run, aren't you?
Well, I was so furious what I heard from the Dead Set Legends team. You don't whack my boys. You don't whack my team. So that's coming up next. That's going to be brutal. Is it next?
No.
I haven't heard
we're
it.
Talk footy.
I didn't get any text message or anything about it.
No, I've protected
Is
you
Is that
from
because
it.
No one listens?
No, I got a lot. Are they actually like concentrating on content of their show?
No,
or are they
not
just like just bagging
they wouldn't know
everyone.
How to spell it.
That's right, all they've got.
Let's just go back to Friday night. Need to touch on our two respective footy sides. Port Adelaide, they're just showing some little glimpses, Byrne and Gregory.
Yes.
That's 3 wins in a row in a bit of a scrappy game on Friday night, which we thought would. But Port Adelaide's fast ball movement was very impressive for me at times, which I've really enjoyed. And what I thought was impressive, they had 21 inside 50 marks,
yep.
Port Adelaide.
No,
I can't recall the last time they had that type of stat.
AFL average 11, Jars.
So they smashed it.
Absolutely smashed it.
And
nearly
don't rush
it.
Charlie Dixon back into the AFL program yet. Port Adelaide, if you're listening, which most of them don't because they don't like us or don't like me, leave Chuck down there a bit longer.
Yep. No, he got through a half a footy pretty well. But, yeah, I agree. Finn Layson went pretty well, kicked 3, Marshall 2, Plenty of marks inside 50, as you said. Sam Pau-Pepa, very good again in his 100th
game.
He's
the heart and soul of that group.
I feel like he's playing like a captain,
mate,
isn't he?
Yes,
like he's like sort of captain material. I don't think off-field's probably, you know, he had that away and he's mucked up a couple of times. Yeah. So it might not suit him down to the wire. But he's playing on-field like a captain would. Take nothing away from Tommy Jones.
I love
he's
the way
outstanding
he plays
as well. Just love watching him.
Yeah.
Porter back. They're
so you're
game.
Saying they're back.
Well, they're a game and percentage with North Melbourne this week.
Yes.
That means they could make up both this weekend, a game and percentage enough to get in the eight this weekend. We're talking round eight?
Yeah.
So, or round nine next week. So, I mean, they're back.
If they're 7-7, round 14, if they're 7-7, they are a big chance to have a bit of a play in those finals.
I think they're going to scrape in, aren't they? They're going to scrape in.
Well, if they keep going the way they're going, the way that they're
progressing. Well, they've got another win coming up on the weekend.
They've got the
bye against poor old North Melbourne. I want to ask you about Marshall Byrne.
Yep.
He's turned the corner, you reckon? His last two
that
or three weeks.
That third quarter was impressive. Yeah, he's as good as I've seen.
Yeah, he's a confidence player, isn't he? And he's the first player to get whacked whenever they go bad. But when he says back, he's played throughout, hasn't he? So Kenny keeps backing him in, which must give him confidence. Another couple of goals on the weekend. Got around the footy. I think he's a better player too when Charlie Dixon plays. So how those three can work together, this could be a masterstroke. Them three, Finlayson, Marshall and Dixon all together, that and Georgiadis becomes the fourth. He almost becomes a small, which he can play well at ground level. So to answer your question, is he back? Yes, I don't think he ever lost.
He kicked
five in the showdown, which they lost, and he's
but he dominated
up.
That third quarter.
Third quarter, he really dominated. Took it. And I haven't really seen him take a game by the scruff of the neck, and I thought,
terrific.
Geez, I like what I'm seeing here.
Much better from Port now. The Crows yesterday, Sunday afternoon, of course, went down to Carlton. Talk us through that, Jars.
Painful to watch, Greg. It's painful to watch.
Is it?
And you know, look, I have been critical. I have been of the midfield group, of the ruckman, Riley O'Brien. I have been. It's not an elite midfield group. They work hard. They're warriors, but they're not good enough. It's not good enough for this competition. And
when you say not good enough, do you mean not skillful enough?
Not skillful. They're average midfielders. They're not genuine midfielders. Rory Laird, for me, needs to... I love Lairdy, but he's a backman. You know, he plays his best football down back.
All Australian halfback.
Riley O'Brien needs to go back to the Sandful. Young Strawn needs an opportunity. Now, they'll come... Oh, what are you saying? So, well, young Silvani, half the size of O'Brien in a ruck contest yesterday, I was watching it, pushed him and he fell to the ground. This is Riley O'Brien, who's got a massive ticker and his heart's on his sleeve. I get all that. But, mate, that should never, ever happen. He should just put his elbow in his chest to Silvani and say, mate, don't come here. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
That was embarrassing. Boone, did you see that?
Yeah, no good.
Now, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. They've got to invest in some new talent through the midfield moving forward. Because that's just not good enough. I'm sorry I've been critical, but enough's enough.
They had 25 more inside 50s, Carlton. So they just won the clear. They won all the stats, contested footy, clearance, inside 50s, and they just locked it in. But how much look at some of the Carlton mids compared to the Adelaide mids. They're just a class above, and that's why they are where they are in the top four now. They deserve to be. Because I've developed that
Crows
midfield.
Midfield's ranked 18th in the competition.
And they don't look like they're going to... Nah. Who's next? Next in there?
That's what I'm saying. I was going to ask you, Byrne, out of the younger brigade, so if it's what Jars is saying, who's going to push through into the midfield?
Well,
out of
the younger guys?
I'll get Rochelle in there. I'll get Dawson in there. Well, I'll try and find a big ball in there. You know, they don't have an Ollie Wines or a Cripps. Well, they had one Cam Ellis-Yolman that he got flicked.
Yeah, they're trialling Haitley through there. But to answer Greg's question, these are the players that are going through there. Haitley's
got smashed
the young,
contestable.
Yeah, no, it was, well, minus 14.
But
I'm
with you. There's no speed, they got no skill, and they're not physical around the ball, around the midfield, and that's where you got to win it. That's.
So what's the quick fix, or is it a long fix?
I think it's
a long fix. Does Adelaide Footy Club need to do what a Carlton did and go get a... you know, a Kennedy, a Hewitt,
yeah.
these sort of guys. Yeah. Target that sort big of recruitment yeah. because yeah. that there, mate, that makes Cripps better, makes Walsh better, all these players, yeah. because they're midfield yeah. depth and height and size too. Yeah. They've recruited big mids.
Just got a call, Eddie from Seton. G'day, Eddie.
Hey, guys, how you going?
You a bit concerned?
Yeah, so don't get hyped up about Port Adelaide.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we won't.
Because last year,
yeah,
they shouldn't have played the finals last year because they only beat bottom teams last year and they didn't beat a top 8 team last year.
Yeah.
So okay. this year, the only reason why they're playing good because they're playing bottom teams this year. They haven't been the top 8 team yet. St Kilda doesn't really count because they're a bit of a scrappy team that shouldn't be in the 8.
No, that counts. Beating St Kilda counts, and the Bulldogs were a grand finalist team last year. I know they're a bit down now, so I don't necessarily agree.
Mm. Good on you, Eddie. Thanks for your call, mate.
Now, I need to address something. There's something not quite right with you.
No, there's not.
There's steam coming out of your ears, and, well, we didn't address it first segment, but now we need to because your attitude's not right, and
no,
something's
it's not.
Happened over the weekend.
Yes.
You haven't told me what has happened.
Well, Byrne, he rang me on Saturday morning, so I'm...
That's weird.
I'm playing golf. That is weird. So I see the phone ringing, Andrew Jarman.
Yeah.
I picked up the phone, and I've never heard him. As furious as what you were.
Because.
What happened?
Those three chunkheads on Saturday morning, dead set legends.
Who are they?
No one listens to them. All right. Tom Rockcliffe, former Port Adelaide player sacked. Callum Ferguson destroyed his test career in one game.
Yeah.
And try hard Tomo. What's his name again? Michael Thompson.
Mark
Thompson. Yeah. This is what they said about one of my boys on Saturday morning on their dead set legends. Have a listen to this, family.
We had a message come through a few weeks back from our producer and also the boss, Matt O, just letting us know about the work drinks that were coming up. Now, I'm not sure what Bluey was doing, but I said, is Bluey invited? You know, the rush hour got, yes, they're invited
they're
as
in.
Well.
Yep.
Right. What the hell's Bluey doing? Anyway, I said to Matt O, well, Bluey's clearly not coming today.
Not coming.
Well, you know, he's asking me if I can play golf. What was his response? He asked Benny, the producer, for the rush hour, and he said... Yeah, nah, I won't be able to make those drinks. Saturdays are mine, mate.
Oh, no.
Wrap it up, Ferg.
Listen,
geez, how long?
Shut up. And don't call him Matty O. He's my best friend. So let's start with Craig Ferguson. If he were in a fight with a butterfly, we wouldn't help you, mate. Honestly, this is the garbage we've got to listen to.
Imagine where Bluey would be if there was no James Brayshaw. Oh,
he was finished. At Triple M, Channel 7, he was done with cricket. He was, directionless.
He was coaching the sacker and he got
got
the flick from there.
He would be make runs.
He'd be absolutely nowhere. He'd be a part-time kids cricket coach and a struggling amateur golfer. He'd be
This is harsh.
Yeah. This is the guy that you brought into our environment.
And he's running with my gags.
He's running. He is. Exactly right. That's your gag.
Yeah.
Is there any more of Craig Ferguson?
Yeah, Blue, I've just got the Chew Man chasing up Anus Mirabilis.
Who?
What did
you say?
You have to be very careful with how you say
it. How do you pronounce it again?
Anus.
Hey, I'm just trying to the Chew Man. Trying to get a rundown. Never doubt, it is a Latin phrase.
There he is.
I hear his voice and I just think...
Destroyed Triple M cricket, Greg.
That was the very first session of Triple M cricket and he swore.
Yep. Craig Ferguson, go away. And let's go to Mr. Script, Tom, who thinks he's a radio career Rockcliffe. He went bike riding the other day, family. Police got calls there's a chunky grizzly riding through the hills. Listen to this garbage.
My third one, ball.
Ball.
Oh, you better say that.
We know your influence was huge and you've stolen Jordan Dawson. Was on debut. I know he's a little bit older. I know that he's 20 years old, but he's only 20 years old. And to be able to do that is just...
Yeah.
just blown away.
Yeah.
We all get the listeners in on our show and then you just continue them on for the rub.
Do you say use?
After us.
Yeah, use. You said use.
Yeah.
That's the worst grammar you can ever use.
Listen to this.
Hey, did you hear him try and say Stephen Coniglio the
weekend?
Couldn't
even say Stephen Coniglio.
Coniglio. Stephen, he called him in
what
the end.
What are we dealing with? He thinks he's got a radio career. He scripts everything he says, family. Mm, yeah. He's got colour codes in his pad. I'm red, Bernie's blue, and Greg's black in Biro. Honestly, Tommy, go back to Brisbane. Pack up your family and go back to Brisbane. And then let's zero on how many radio shows can I host? Matthew, I like to shout Thompson, or Tomo, whatever
Mark
he's called.
Thomas.
After a recent interview, Triple M offered to pay compensation to poor old Tomo for damage caused by repeated concussions. The only thing, family, he's never been knocked out.
Triple M.
Remember which show.
Well, he does have four.
Let's check his audition tapes again.
Growing up in the sticks, you got two options. It's either sport or sport. For me, it was country football. I'm as passionate today as I was when I started playing at the under-8s for the Mighty Meadows Football Club. 2 hours every Saturday with no worries whatsoever. Not about the mortgage, work, or even the missus. You and 20 others trying to achieve the ultimate. How good's that? You certainly have some fun off the field too. No beer tastes as good as the first one after winning the change rooms.
He's doing an audition. He's laughing at his own jokes.
Tomo, go back to community radio. This is for the big boys. Honestly.
But how did he get one job from that audition, let alone 15?
He just lurks around the studios. He lurks around the corridors. He brown-nosed to the bosses. Honestly, mate, if these boys want to take on the Wolfpack, there's more coming.
Yeah, good.
So this is a warning to the Dead Set Legends boys. Don't take on my boys. Don't insult my boys. We are a global show.
Tight.
And we're coming for you. All right? The old three chunkheads. See you later.
This is the leadership they need. Yeah. Look at that, Jars. Bang, the CIC.
The Dead Set Duds.
He's spoken.
Bern, you got a text message there regarding the performance yesterday by the Adelaide Crows. Yeah, what are the family saying, mate?
A couple here, but this one sort of sums it all up. This is from Brett. I'm very concerned about the Crows. Maybe a good question or discussion for the bump, which is on tomorrow, Jars.
Yeah.
Not sure if it's player development, injury, or poor draft selection. Probably all three.
Mm.
But they started their rebuild under a new coach around the same time as the Dockers. The Crows seem to have no depth compared to Freo. Mm. And I know that's easy to say because Freo are going really well, but Sydney sort of did the same thing. They recycled their list as well. But they've got some real talent coming through.
Hawthorn?
Hawthorn. I know. When you go through it, I don't know.
That was a painful to watch that game yesterday.
Yeah, they were lucky in the last quarter and a bit. They got back in it and they made it less embarrassing because that looked like it was going to be 100 points at one stage. Yeah, it
did. 1-3-3-5-3-G, $1,000. Phone lines are now open, family.
1-3-3-5-3, we're going to play the Rush Hours $1,000 Minute. 10 questions in 60 seconds. It's a sport quiz.
Yes.
Have you got a clue for us?
Yeah, I have.
What,
a piece of equipment used in sport, a quiver.
A quiver.
A quiver. Do you know that, Jazz?
I've seen the questions. I've seen Bluey do that when Curtly Ambrose was bowling at him.
My lip. My lip did.
60 seconds on the clock. $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 Minute.
All right, lovies, let's go to Salisbury East. Good afternoon, Chad. Welcome.
G'day, Jazz.
Now, you got a spring in your step because your boys won over the weekend. Who do you support?
Bombers, mate.
Oh, how good was that last quarter? I did that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big 2 metre Peter.
That's the boy.
He's on fire.
He's on fire, eh?
Yeah, six goals.
All right.
Even though Jars hates us, but still.
Oh, no.
Why do you hate Essendon, Jars? Tell us.
Because something happened in 93, all right? So don't go there. Let's not go there.
I was sitting behind the goals, Jars putting me off, mate.
He was there.
All right, thanks, Chad. See you, buddy. Next. 10 questions, mate. You got 60 seconds. Say pass if you don't know, and we'll take your first answer and enjoy it, all right? And listen carefully.
Thanks, mate.
Here he goes.
Jenna O'Hay is famous for playing what sport?
Basketball.
Who is currently sitting second on the AFL ladder?
Fremantle.
Bunker, rough and fairway are all terms used in what sport?
Golf.
In horse racing, the Darley Scone Cup Carnival is held in which Australian state?
New South Wales.
Patrick Cripps is the captain of which AFL club?
Carlton.
A quiver is a piece of equipment used in which sport?
Archery.
Which of the following is not a WWE wrestling immortal? Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, or Andrew Jarman?
Marvel Stadium is located in which Australian city?
Victoria. Melbourne.
Carlos Alcaraz has just won which major tennis tournament?
Pass.
True or false, Rhett Biglin's played over 120 games for Adelaide Crows?
True.
Carlos Alcaraz has just won which major tennis?
Madrid.
Right. Just got it in.
He's sharp as our boy Chadley.
Wasn't he?
All right, Chadley. Let's check the scoreboard, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
$1,000, mate.
You're guilty.
Shaddy. Oh, the Bombers have won. He's won $1,000. How good?
You beauty.
Mate, are you normally that good under pressure?
Oh, mate, the Madrid question was a bit of a how you going, but.
Yeah. How you going?
Mate, that's brilliant.
Under pressure, too. He was calm, collected. Wasn't he? He came back to the question he didn't quite know.
Elite performance.
Yeah. It was
clinical.
Well done, Chad. Congratulations. You picked up that $1,000 thanks to our very good friends.
A couple of text messages coming through. 0488851047. This is from Belinda in Athelstan. As usual, this is talking about the Crows. As usual, no plan B for the Crows. If something isn't working, we persist, then finally make a change in the last quarter and we finally see some fight. Thanks, Belinda. Not a bad call because they were looking down the barrel until that last quarter. Mm. This is from unnamed. Remember, leave your name and suburb. Mm. Most of the Crows are seagulls, and Jars is the king of the seagulls.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Well, you like a chip?
Well, he hasn't got the courage to leave his name and number.
Well, his number's here.
He'd be one of those dirty, smelly pigeons, wouldn't he?
Well, I think he means you just hang around the outside.
Nah, anyway. You know,
Greg, just quickly, notice Chad Sayers is playing footy.
Flinders
former
Park.
Redback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. D-grade.
D-grade.
Hey,
he's still getting injury payments from the Redbacks. He's meant to be bone on bone with his knee.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Div what?
Div 8.
Greg Blewett here. This year, I've lost two great mates to heart issues, the great Shane Warne and mentor of mine, Rod Marsh. But if we can find a positive message, it's that we should get our hearts checked.
On Triple M, it's time to have a heart to heart about your health. To find out more about what's coming up at the highway, head to highway.com.au.
And we'd like to invite Tony Faulkner along on Thursday down at the highway. Good afternoon, Tony. Welcome to the Rush Hour.
How you going, fellas?
Yeah, G'day, really Tony. Good, Tony. Now, I understand that yourself and your wife have got a history of heart problems in your families and you'd like to both get your hearts checked. Is that right?
Yeah, well, my wife's, she's actually in the process of seeing a cardiologist and all that sort of stuff, and she's got a scan next month. So she's already looked after, but I've got a bit of a history. Both my parents had triple and quadruple bypasses, and I had a checkup when I turned 50. I've just semi-retired at 62 and had a little bit of a scare with a mini stroke about 4 years ago. So I thought, well, this came up online and on your channel, and I thought, well, see if I can get a free ride and have a bit of interest shown at my heart.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We'll welcome you on Thursday, so you'll both get your hearts checked. And what about at the moment, Tony? You're feeling pretty good. Do you look after yourself?
Look, I'm overweight. I've got bad legs from motorbike and rugby sport accidents many years ago, and it's come to fruition now. I've got artificial knee and artificial hip, so I don't exercise nearly as much as I used to. To keep my weight down, so I've put on a fair bit of weight. Mm. Anyway, I'm trying to deal with that now. I've got a membership gym, and I'm under some advice from an exercise physiologist, and trying to do all the right things to get myself right.
Good man.
Tone, 62.
I'm stress is all gone now. So
good. 62 is a young age, my friend. You know, and you've got to, you know, if you've got grandkids and kids, mate, you've got another 30 years to go.
Well, yeah, we've got our first grandchild, only 7 months old. So, yeah, I'd like to see her hit not 7 months, but 17 at least.
Yeah, good boy.
Hey, Tone, who are you most looking forward to meeting at the highway? You got Roo, Ditz, Jars, Blue, myself, Loz.
Where's all the port players?
Oh, actually, well, you Ditz can get Fatboy Rockcliffe if you want.
Ditz is there.
Yeah, get him there. Well, I don't want to have to listen to Jars too much.
Oh.
Start talking about how good the Crows are going or not.
We're going shit, mate, so don't worry.
Aren't they? Yeah.
Good on you, Tone.
They should come out to training with a Port and they might improve.
Should combine those two teams.
Tony, thanks for coming on, mate, and we look forward to meeting you on Thursday. It's going to be a great lunch, so looking forward to meeting your wife as well, and we'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get her there.
All right, good boy.
Well done, mate. Tone.
Well done, Tone. See you, fellas.
Should we be called the Rush Double Hour?
What was that, buddy?
Well, the Rush Hours.
Rush Hour. Actually, we go for 2 hours.
A valid point, Bert.
I just thought about that then. I don't know why my brain was thinking of that, but it was.
Hey, can I have a little golf clap for the Adelaide United team under my mate Carly Beard? 2-1, last night at Hindmarsh.
Home elimination final
Sunday.
Now,
Sunday. In. And we want a full house. I know there's a refurbishment going on.
Surely.
It's got to be sold out.
Yeah,
going well, aren't they?
Oh, he's done it. All the blokes we've lost. But no, doesn't faze our mate Carly Veer.
Doesn't complain.
Never.
He just wishes them all the best.
Finds another one. Yep. So, let's get around our team on Sunday, the Reds. So I might try and get him on for another chat.
No. I think I should try because he's done with you.
All right. I've run out of questions. Hey, we've got to get talk about SA greats. Travis Head, we're going to get him on tomorrow night on the Rush Hour Burn.
Nice.
He's just, along with his fiancée, Jess, have just returned from the Maldives.
Lovely.
So while all of us are slugging it out here and
doing it tough
and working like mad people, he's been in the Maldives having a great time. But on their way home, they had a bit of a mishap. They had an emergency landing. The plane slid off the runway.
Slid off the runway?
Yes.
I haven't heard this.
Yes. So we'll delve into it tomorrow with him. We'll ask him some cricket questions. But I mainly want to know about what happened.
And what did he do?
And what did he do? Did he panic?
Protect
his
fiancée?
Jess is pregnant as well. So
did he hide under the seat?
Did he press the eject button like you would have? Did you grab the life jacket and put it on himself and no one else like you would have?
You would have.
So 133353, I want to know whether your plane stories, whether it's a close call or it's stuff that annoys you on a plane that people do.
When were you scared?
When were you scared on a plane?
This scared me about back in the day when I was on a plane.
Dr. Room, Mr. Hammond ate fish and Randy said there are 5 more cases and they all had fish too.
Every passenger on this plane will have fish for dinner. Will become violently ill in the next half hour. Starts with a slight fever, dryness of the throat. The virus penetrates the red blood cells. The victim becomes dizzy. From there, the poison goes to work on the central nervous system, causing severe muscle spasms, accompanied by uncontrollable flatulence. Until finally, the poor bastard is reduced to a quivering, wasted piece of jelly.
From one of the great movies, the classic Flying High.
Farting on a plane never goes down well either, does it? So I've had a close call. I was in the Caribbean taking off as the nose went up. Mm. Bang, on the left engine, we hit a couple of eagles.
A couple of eagles? They're not small.
No, not small. So we had to fly. We circled the runway a couple of times just then they were checking out the undercarriage. But everything was okay.
Who were you sitting next to? Were you scared? Did you think this is it?
There was just a big.
Did you feel it?
No, it was.
You feel it?
Did I feel it?
Shot the plane, did it?
Who was I? I think I might have been next to old Hairy Arms Ricky Ponting, and he was sucking his thumb. I had to cradle him to sleep.
133353. What scared you on a plane?
This scared
Any
me
funny
on
stories?
A, this scared me on a plane. I couldn't get on a plane after this movie.
Enough is enough. I've had it with these motherfuckers. Snakes on this motherfucking plane.
But worst movie ever.
Snakes on a plane. No wonder I've never seen it. Friday night, we played in Melbourne. We played Collingwood on a Friday night trial game. We had the cricket grand final at Stansbury the next day. We had to do recovery in Melbourne on the Saturday morning.
That's annoying.
Annoying. And we landed Recovery, overrated. We didn't land until 11 here in Adelaide on the way back, so I couldn't drive over and play.
Yep.
The only way I was going to get there is fly. So our next door neighbour, Anthony Litster, has a plane, two-seater, real tiny.
Learjet.
The only way I got there is straight up, we jumped in that, straight up the runway, Adelaide Airport, landed, but Dad was meant to check the paddock where we were landing, right, which is at my papa's house.
Yeah.
He was meant to go and check it on the way over.
Yeah.
Check, yep, nah, checked it, all good, no worries. As we're coming into land, there's dead sheep, there's salt licks, rocks, there's it.
Stop
and
it.
They're pinging up and hitting the bloody plane.
Oh.
I said, did you check the paddock?
Yep.
No, I did. And 2 days later, admitted, no, I didn't actually check it.
No. Could have been holes, anything on
that. Well, we could have bloody not been here, Bluey.
Luke from Glenelg East, what scare did you have on a plane, mate?
Okay, my dad was a pilot, and the last flight that he did is that as he was bringing the miners back from one of the mining sites, they ran out of fuel. And so he got permission to fly over Rathbase Pier flying into Perth and was down on one engine, landed on, like, perfect landing, everything like that. Everybody was all happy on the plane because they knew exactly who was flying. And, he was on vapors.
Wow. Didn't think that maybe check the fuel before he took off.
Run out of
good story, Luke. Thanks for that, mate.
Good on you, Luke. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jeremy from Happy Valley. What happened to you on a plane?
Hey, guys. I was coming from Whyalla to Adelaide, and I was sitting in the emergency exit. As soon as they fired the engines, you'd feel the propulsion of the propellers coming through the emergency exit door.
Whoa.
The whole flight, there was an alarm going off in the cockpit, and you could see a red flashing light. And we came over the coast, and it was at night. No warning at all. All of a sudden, the plane dipped and turned very sharply. I'm thinking, yep, I'm dead. And then we just landed.
You don't need that. You shouldn't be laughing.
No, I don't. But
good on you, Jez.
I'm glad it wasn't me. Let's go to Catherine from Seaford Meadows. What was your plane story?
Hi, guys. My heart's racing just listening to these. But my plane was hit by lightning. It was a small airline.
Yeah.
So they're not really designed to be hit by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my way to Adelaide for a funeral, so that was just fantastic. We circled Adelaide for about an hour, and then when we landed, we had those massive fire trucks following us.
Oh, no.
And the plane ended up having hundreds of bullet-sized holes through the plane, and it just never flew again.
Jeez.
I happen to know someone who worked at the airport in Mount Gambier at the time, and I said to him as a bit of a joke, how close were we? And he said, Catherine, you were bloody lucky to land.
Wow. Is it like the movies when you get hit by lightning? Is there a heap of smoke comes up through the cabin?
No. I was on the left-hand side and saw this ball of light hit the wing.
Jeez.
And it exited out the right engine. This happened 12 years ago, and I still am scared to go flying.
Oh, yeah, great.
Understandably.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Thanks for sharing, Catherine. I'm going to fly twice every weekend, by the way. I'll start driving.
Let's go to Mark from Noarlunga Downs. G'day, Mark. What's your story?
Yeah, how you going, gentlemen?
Good
mate.
Good. I was meant to be flying to Port Lincoln for a uni study, and then the night before I was at a friend's wedding and had way too many. So stumbled onto the plane in the morning, fell asleep against the window, and then woke up to this massive thud on the side of the window and looked down, there was water everywhere, and I thought the plane had crashed. Little did I know it was the first flight for the airline to Port Lincoln, so they had the fire truck spraying the water across the plane and, like, sending off.
Yeah, Wally.
There I was sitting there, woken up, there's water splashing into the window, massive thud. I jumped up, freaking out, and everyone's looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? And then I looked out and realised we're still on the ground.
To be fair, if you're hungover, woke up, and there's water pouring on the side, you'd be worried.
Well done. Let's go to Kurt from St. Agnes. G'day, Kurt.
G'day, Jazz. How are you, mate?
Good, buddy. What scared you in a plane?
Oh, I'll give you the hot tip, mate. We were coming home from Brisbane. I was working fly in, fly out, and everything was going good. And the pilot came on and said, everybody take your seat. We're about to hit some turbulence. And he didn't even get to finish the sentence. and there was this almighty bang, and the planes just started going. And we've been hit by lightning. So, and it was kind of funny because I had a beer in my tray in front of me, and the beer sort of stayed where it was, and the plane was going down. I tried to grab that and missed, and I spilled it on the lady next to me, and she was just. She was white knuckle airlining, holding up to see your life. But when we landed, this was a day when there was like 1,200 lightning strikes in Adelaide. But when we landed, we weren't allowed to get off the plane because the plane was insulated and the terminal was insulated, but the sky bridge that walked wasn't. So if we got hit in that, we were going to get cooked. So I got off pretty quick, and I reckon I've downed 3 schooners at the bay. I was had only up before half the plane got off. And the good thing I had any brown undies on because I feel like I have to cook.
That's one way to deal with it, Kurt.
Good stuff.
Couple of schooners.
Well awesome. Done, buddy.
Good story.
Have a good night, mate.
That's a good call.
Can I have a prize, please, for Mark of Noarlunga Downs? Yeah. They're all great calls. Yeah. But,
Mark, we're going to give you a $100 Faster Pasta voucher. All your favourites, all delicious, and all in one place. Faster Pasta.
Burn.
Hello?
No, testing. We know what's coming on.
Are we live?
When we're away on the weekend, we turn on our voice. What?
I'm a bit nervous about
voicemail. Okay. So you reckon we've got a few?
Press the button.
You want to explain to the fam what this is?
Oh, well,
press the voicemail.
Our friends leave us messages that we can't get to, and we don't know who's going to.
Well, we're not here on weekends anymore. No, those other chunkheads are.
We normally get KG, Rick Bigmans,
Brayshaw.
Jimmy Brayshaw. All right,
let's Mika. See who's called in for Bernie, Bully and Jars.
This is scary.
You have new messages.
Boys, it's Ken. I don't know how it happened. I went to the doctor and said I wouldn't mind a hip op, and he thought I said hip hop, and I ended up at a Hilltop Hoods concert. I thought my joints gave me trouble. Nothing compared to this fatty that was skinned up by.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Jars, it's your godson, Jimmy Ray. Why won't you let me on your show? Producer says I'm too risky. that, I'm a f***ing top Why the f*** do you pricks even give a f*** about what the f***'s not going to be shooting the with you f***ing pricks?
He doesn't
speak. Hey, Bernie.
No.
G'day, Blue Ear Tian from Finance. We've just got a couple of things here that you've tried to claim back. I've just got to give you a bit of a refresher here, mate. I'm sorry. Just a list of things that you can't claim on the network, mate. Teeth whitening, anus bleaching, eyebrow threading, leg waxing, pedicure, manicure,
shut up.
Forehead moisturising, facial cleansing,
that's enough.
Rear end enemas, hair treatments, lash tinting, chest tanning, and scrotum Botox.
Oh, no!
You've got to pay for that out of your own pocket, mate.
Lash tinting.
G'day, Bernie. Jacob from childcare here again, mate. Thanks for coming down to talk to all the kids and the parents and discussing some of your highlights. We were sort of expecting footy highlights. Footage of you and your dad docking sheep has left some of the kids a bit scarred, yeah?
Hello, it's Jack from Port Noarlunga Bowls Club. Just wanted to give you a score update. That we beat the Rainella Bowls Club in a white knuckle 9-hour game on Saturday. There was a bit of controversy as Beatrice flashed her petticoat during the final bowl. Feel free to contact me for more updates.
Sounded like Rocky.
It's Matto, your boss.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. Look, Jars, we've had to can the $2 photo booth with Jars at your next outside broadcast because we had a look, and since the start of the year, it's raised $2 for grassroots footy. And even then, that was just a selfie from your producer, Ben, just to see if his lip gloss coverage was on point. Wow. Hello. It's the Premier, Peter Malinauskas here. I see that you boys wanted me to come on to talk about my 5-point plan leading up to the election. Hang on, this shirt's got to come off. Oh, look at that. So, my 5-point plan leading up to the federal election is abs, legs, chest, back and shoulders. And I agree with your producer, coming on the Rush Hour would be great for my image. Standing next to you ugly pricks, I'd look even hotter. Yeah, Kev from Seaford here. Just wondering if your bloody announcer, Emma G, was single. And if she was, do you reckon she'd be interested in the Jim Beam mirror I've got above me bed? Hang on, someone's trying to bloody talk to me. Hang on. What?
Put the axe down, Ted.
Oh, g'day, boys. It's Tex. Not the greatest game in the world, but we fought back at the end. Nixie asked if I was a bit under the weather, and I just looked at him on that Zoom call and went, we're at Marvel Stadium. We're under a roof, not the weather.
Come on, Dix.
It's Burn. Mick it from the Stansbury pub, mate. Just letting you know we're an umpire down on the weekend. And we had to get your old man, but he'd had a few drinks.
Oh, no.
Some say he was being a bit biased, which is utter bullshit, mate. He did a fantastic job. Anyway, Southern Eagles, 2-6-18, losing to the CMS Crows, 49-11, 305. Job it! Birdie! Bluey! Jeep! Amazing round of football on the weekend. I'm sure you guys loved it. Most of you seeing it from the commentary box, apart from Jarman, he'll never get in. Speaking of which, Jarman, I've heard you love a nice feed in your local beautiful place of Henley Beach. So I've lined up a buffet for you. Go help yourself. They're expecting you. Because they put speed bumps in front of the food. You bet.
There are no more messages.
Inspirational, the community and individuals out there putting putting everything on the line. And we've got the push-up challenge coming up in June, chaps. The Push for Better Foundation. And it raises money for mental health, anxiety. And one man that's just showing a massive strength, he's 33-year-old Sean Whitbread. He joins us on the Rush Hour. Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for your time.
Hey, boys. No worries. How are you?
Sean, you're a disabled father. You're inspiring others. You want to do this push-up challenge. You're 33 years old. What happened to you to get to this situation in regards to you falling off your motorbike?
Yeah, well, in 2015, I had a pretty life-changing accident. I come off my bike in Craigmore, and, I lost my leg and broke my back, and I am now confined to a wheelchair pretty much. So it was a big life change, that's for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sean, talk us through when you're 2 weeks in a coma, and then when you come out of the coma and you get the news from the doctors about your life ahead. What was that like?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal, like waking up from a coma. You have all these people around you, and the doctors pretty much said, look, you've had a really bad accident. You know, we've had to amputate your leg, obviously, and you've sustained a spinal cord injury, and, I'll never walk again. But it only really hit me as I was actually leaving hospital, like, to go to rehab, that, I was going to have to pretty much learn how to do everything, over again, things that you do before that you don't even get, like, second guess, that you're going to have to learn how to do all over again.
And tell us about this push-up challenge. Why push-ups, and what are you raising awareness for?
Yeah, this push-up challenge, I've known about it from the past, but my partner actually got me onto it. And because I've suffered with anxiety and mental health issues basically my whole life, I thought this would be something great to do and raise awareness, and show that anybody, can do it and raise awareness and funds for mental health.
So last year, 174,000 participants, Jazz, completed 240 million push-ups, raised nearly $9 million. Unbelievable effort.
Yeah, I it's quite unbelievable, how much money people have raised. Mm. And if I can just do my little bit to maybe inspire somebody or, just raise awareness and let people know that they're not on their own and, there's help out there and, maybe I can save somebody's life.
And Sean, talking about inspiring people, I suppose none more than your children, Mia and Lucas, 10 and 8. And, you know, you've written here that you really want to inspire them. And even though that, you know, the horrible accident that you went through, that there's life afterwards.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Like, that was like one of the biggest worries, like about having the accident, that I was worried about was my kids and how I was going to be a father to them. But, you know, at the end of the day, they still see me as dad, and I'm doing my best, you know, to try and, you know, make them proud. And I haven't given up, you know, I've kept battling on, and yeah, it's quite good the way they actually took the accident, to be honest.
The push-ups will take up across 24 days in June, boys. Mm. And you're going to do 3,139. Is that a special number, or why? It's not it's a bit of an odd number.
Yeah, it pretty much represents the lives lost to suicide in 2020. So I think that may be the number that we actually lost in 2020, unfortunately. So, yeah, I've got a team behind me as well. I've got my own little team, and you can, you know, look me up on the push-up challenge, and you can donate to the cause and that, which is good. So I'm not sure if I actually have to do all the push-ups on my own, or if I can share them amongst the team and that. But yeah, I'll aim for the 3,000. I've been training at the gym, so yeah, it should be all good.
Well done, mate. Inspirational, yeah. Buddy, and we're very proud of you, and I reckon we got to start doing some push-ups too. You'd like
just over 130 a day, that is, in the 24
yeah,
days.
Yeah, get onto it, mate.
No.
Yeah.
Well done, Sean.
Love
it. All the best, mate, and we'll keep tabs on your progress, and well done. It's a great cause, and everyone get around him. Sean Whitbread, all the best, mate. And we thank you for your time. And no doubt you'll raise a lot of money for a great cause.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, boys.
And there he is. Inspiration.
Yeah. Sean, where can our Triple M listeners donate? How can they get involved in the push-up challenge?
You can go to the website, pushupchallenge.com. And if you search up my name, Sean Whitbread, that's my team, you should be able to just... donate.
Mate,
there. Great. You may be able to donate just to the actual website itself. But yeah, it's a great cause.
Absolutely. Thanks, right mate.
On, mate. Awesome, Sean.
And if you or anybody that you know is struggling, you can always contact Lifeline on 13 11 14.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
What do you got for Monday?
Look at your eyes, James.
Are you okay?
Fatiguing a bit.
What, from... Big weekend.
But that's good Sean Whitbread. What an inspirational individual. So let's get around him.
Well done.
I'm going to start my push-ups.
That's a lot of push-ups.
Good on him, mate. Nah, fantastic. So mental health is very important in society these days.
It's becoming more and more important.
Well said. All right, Ben, what do you got for your fun facts for Mundi?
Today, 9th of May, not sure if they're going to be fun. You be the judge. 1949, a birthday, big birthday. The Piano Man.
What's his name?
Billy Joel. You like this one, Josh?
Love it. Yeah, he's a superstar, Billy.
Went to his concert at Febby.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you? Hmm. How long ago was that?
That was a long time ago.
Would have been in the 80s.
I was hoping Christy Brinkley might have been there.
Oh, you were hoping.
That's the only reason he went. He didn't even listen to the music.
As if she'd be giving you even an inch of the time.
17, I reckon. 17, 18.
17.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Good start, Boone.
Hey, on this day, 1926.
Yes.
This will be right up your alley, Jazz. I know you like the cold weather. Mm. The first ever flight over the North Pole was completed by a guy called Richard Byrd, who had a co-pilot, Floyd Bennett,
beautiful.
1926.
Did they ever go over the South Pole?
Well, they didn't. On this day, they didn't, because I looked all that up just in case.
You can fly over Antarctica.
That's a long way from the North Pole to the South Pole in a little Cessna. We spoke about planes running out of fuel before. That one didn't have enough.
That's a good one, Boone.
Nah, thanks, Shaz. Yeah. You're getting around. Can you stop reading the bloody paper?
I like the co-pilot's name, Floyd.
Floyd Bennett.
That's a good name, isn't it, Floyd?
Floyd. My mate had a dog called Floyd.
What else you got, mate?
We
got
on this day, 1960.
Yes,
the US became the first country to legalize the birth control pill.
Did they?
Boys, in 1960 on the 9th of May.
Well, now they're going backwards because they're getting rid of abortion. So,
are they getting Oh, yeah. Didn't know that. Well, after when was that? The other day?
It's happening now. Like, they're putting the power back into the states, and about 30 of the states are taking it away.
No, surely yeah. not. God.
It's all Christ over the Lord. Shop over there. Yep. Hey, on this day, 1987, Tom Cruise married.
Yes.
Do you know
Nicole
what wife?
Kidman.
No.
Oh.
1987.
What's her name?
Oh. No, the one before.
Charles is
Brunette,
on it.
Brunette.
Yeah.
Mimi.
Yeah.
Mimi Diver.
Yeah, no. Diver. How did your brain come up with Diver?
I don't know.
Did she dive off something one day? No. That's how your brain works. Yeah. You just throw things around that come in.
And what happened?
Mimi Rogers.
Oh,
Mimi Rogers. Well done, Jazz. You got the first word. I'm pretty happy
with
that.
We've got 22 seconds left.
Mimi Diver.
Oh,
do a couple of songs on the way down the aisle.
Because on this day, 1962, the Beatles signed their first ever contract with EMI Parlophone. Play it, G.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.